How many engineers do we have available? Bondarenko asked Aliyev in the East Siberian dawn. 2 regiments not involved with the road building. Good. Get them all down here immediately to work on the camouflage on these bunkers and to set up false ones on the other side of these hills. Immediately, Andrei. Yes, General. If they come, it will be right up this valley.
Yes, it will.
They will shoot up the first line of defenses, what they think they are, that is, Bondarenko predicted, pointing. The first line was composed of seemingly real bunkers made of rebarred concrete, but the gun tubes sticking out of them were fake. There were even pyrotechnic charges in the false bunkers so that after a few direct hits they'd explode and really make the enemy feel fine for having hit them. Whoever had come up with that idea had been a genius. But the real defenses on the front of the hills were tiny observation posts, whose buried phone lines led back to the real bunkers, and beyond them to artillery positions 10 or more kilometers back. Some of these were old, but the rockets they launched were just as deadly as they'd been in the 1940s. This line wouldn't stop a determined attack. No fixed line of defenses could accomplish that. But it would be enough to make an enemy wish he'd gone somewhere else. But the camouflage needed work. General Peng Shiwang, commander of the Red Banner 34th Shock Army, only 16 kilometers away, looked through powerful spotting glasses at the Russian frontier. 34th Shock was a Type A group army and comprised about 80,000 men. He had an armored division, 2 mechanized ones, a motorized infantry division, and other attachments. 50 years of age and a party member since his 20s, Peng was a long-term professional soldier. Their defenses look ill-maintained, Peng observed. That is so, comrade, the colonel commanding the Border Defense Regiment agreed. How are the bridging engineers?
Their last exercise went very well, Comrade General, operations replied.
Like every other army in the world, the PLA had copied the Russian Ribbon Bridge, designed by Soviet engineers in the 1960s to force crossings of all the streams of Western Germany in a NATO-Warsaw Pact war so long expected but never realized. So what do we expect here?
From the Russians? Intelligence asked. Nothing that I've heard about.
And if we are ordered north? Peng asked.
If we give them one hard kick, the whole rotten mess will fall down, Political answered.
He didn't know that he was exactly quoting another enemy of the Russians.
Eduard Petrovich, Golovko told his president, Secretary of State Adler will be joining us in about 3 hours. He wishes to consult with us on a matter of mutual interest.
What will they say?
I am an intelligence officer, not a gypsy fortune teller. But if you wish me to make a guess, do so.
He will offer us a seat on the North Atlantic Council.
That startled Grushevoy.
Join NATO?
It would be the most elegant solution to the problem. It would face China with a panoply of enemies if they attack us.
And if they make this offer to us?
You should accept it at once, Comrade President.
What will they demand in return?
Whatever it is, it will be far less costly than a war against China.
The time is ripe, Zhang Hansan told his colleagues. The prize lies right before our eyes. We need only take it.
Is it feasible? Interior Minister Tong Ji asked.
Marshal?
Zhang handed the inquiry off to the defense minister.
Luo Kong leaned forward.
From a military point of view, yes, it is possible. We have 4 Type A group armies in the Shenyang Military District, poised to strike north. Behind them are 6 Type B group armies with sufficient infantry to support our mechanized forces, and 4 more Type C group armies to garrison the land we take. The only issues are moving our forces into place and then supplying them. That is mainly a question of railroads.
Minister Tian?
There is sufficient rolling stock for your purposes, Marshal Luo. The concern will be repairing damage done by enemy airstrikes on our rights of way and bridges.
I am not overly worried about that, Tian. Marshal Luo responded. The Russian Air Force is in miserable shape.
Fang could only go so far in this forum.
Comrades, I counsel caution. Some things once begun are less easily halted. War is such a thing.
What would you have us do, Fang? Zhang asked. Should we wait until we run out of oil and wheat? Should we wait for fate to decide for us, or should we choose our own destiny?
If we are to decide, Luo told them, then we must decide soon. We have good campaigning weather before us.
That season will only last so long. Tan Deshi, chief of the Ministry of State Security, asked,
Luo, my friend, how easily could the decision be called back if circumstances warrant?
You can stop the offensive up to the very moment the artillery is to open fire.
In that case, I propose that we vote on conditional approval of a go order, subject to change at any time by majority vote of the Politburo.
As Fang had feared, the vote was already decided, and he voted with the rest. Only Tian Kun wavered. The vote turned out to be unanimous.
Scott Adler's car pulled into the Kremlin to the old Council of Ministers building. There he alighted and hurried inside.
Mr. Secretary, the greeting came from Golovko.
Chairman, thank you for receiving us so quickly.
Golovko led him into what almost appeared to be a throne room.
Mr. Adler, the Russian president said with a smile and an extended hand.
Mr. President, a pleasure to be back in Moscow.
Please. Grushevoy led him to a comfortable set of chairs with a low table. Tea things were already out, and Golovko handled the serving.
Thank you. I've always loved the way you serve your tea. Adler took a sip.
This Chinese threat, it is real, you think? Grushevoy asked.
We fear it is. We hope to forestall it. President Ryan is speaking with the NATO chiefs. He is proposing that we invite Russia to sign the North Atlantic Treaty. It ought to make China take a step back to consider the wisdom of a conflict with your country.
Ah, Grushevoy breathed. So America offers Russia a full alliance of state?
Yes, Mr. President. As we were allies against Hitler, so we can again be allies against all potential enemies.
What do you ask in return?
We ask for nothing. It is in the American interest to help make a stable and peaceful world. We welcome Russia into that world.
Grushevoy considered all this for half a minute or so.
The Russian Federation gladly accepts the offer of the United States of America. Please convey my respects to President Ryan. We will do our best to be worthy allies to your country.
He and I have no doubts of that, Mr. President.